to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, we're on. And a good afternoon to all of you. And kind of a special afternoon. We have two guests in our studio, and I think you've heard about them being here. Lulu's back in town, incidentally. You know, before I talked, in Bucyrus, just north of here, there was a lady, a waitress, that worked 30-some years in a restaurant. Her name was Lulu. And the restaurant owner died, and she bought a restaurant herself. And she's made a tremendous success of being a nice person for 30-some years, and her restaurant is named Lulu's. Yeah, it's in Bucyrus. Okay, my guest, of course, is Lulu and her companion, and we'll be talking with him here. First of all, let me get my microphones in order here. Lulu, what your full name?
Is Bertha Louise Roman.
Oh, Bertha. Okay. Bertha Roman, yeah. Okay, now, I saw the very first Hee-Haw in 1969.
Oh, right.
Oh, hey, I'm older than sand. And now, who's your friend?
Oh, this is Kim. Kim is my personal assistant.
You need one.
She,
don't you?
Boy, I'll tell you what. She takes care of me. She takes care of everything that I need to do or have done. She is God's greatest gift to my life at this moment.
Okay, now, she has to do the nitty-gritty, making reservations, I take it?
Mm-hmm.
And arranging transportation and
she does. Room. She does it all.
Wow. And I tell you, writing, I have a good friend that I influenced to write a book about a story that I passed along. And his struggles over the years of selling enough copies just to pay for the publication. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about your book today. But back, Lulu, in 1969, when Hee-Haw began, we heard Hee-Haw, Hee-Haw. Yeah, you know, I had 4 donkeys myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Later on, yeah. And at the Wyandotte County Fair, which is north of here, about 18 miles or so, a man came up to me and he said, Charlie, I want to tell you, I'm the voice of those animals you hear on Hee-Haw. And his name, you probably didn't know him, Noble Bear. Noble told me that he came and auditioned in the offices of Hee-Haw.
Oh, I'll be.
He sat out in the room and started making animal sounds.
I love it.
And they came out and hired him.
That's great.
And he did all the different animals. And every year when I interviewed him at the fair, he would go through all the animals.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But, yeah. So I take it he probably recorded them. And then they
just
push the button.
And then they do it when they do the script.
Yeah, know. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a 1969, that's a long time
it's
ago.
It's a while, isn't it?
That's what, 40 years?
Yep.
Oh, my land. You know, time
40
flies.
40 or 50, yeah.
Time flies. And, okay. Now, Lulu, how did you ever get associated with Hee-Haw? was the very beginnings.
I actually knew Buck Owens.
Oh, really?
Before the show started.
I often wonder what happened. And I never found out he died, but he did. Sure did.
He did. Yeah, and I sang at his funeral, and it was precious.
Really?
He lived in Bakersfield, and the whole city showed up.
Oh.
There were cars all in the church, all around the church, down the road for miles and miles and miles.
My.
It was precious.
Buck Owens,
and
he
had made out his funeral the way that he wanted it to be, Charlie.
Really?
And there was only one female that he wanted to sing, and that was me.
Oh, well, that's nice.
It was precious. It was.
Buck Owens had his own style of singing.
Mm-hmm, he did.
I don't recall anyone since then.
Mm-mm, nope.
Yeah.
Well, the closest would be Dwight Yoakam.
Oh. Okay.
You know, yeah. And Dwight sang with him for a little while, but yeah.
Well, that's something. Buck Owens, oh boy. And the cast, they've all passed away?
There's a whole lot of them that have, yeah.
Wow.
There's not too many of us left. Now, I am the only one left of the original cast members.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And then some of the ones that came in a bit after that. Missy's still alive. Jeff Smith is still alive.
Buck Trent.
Buck Trent.
Kathy Baker.
And Kathy Baker. And let's see.
Diana Goodman. Ganilla Hutton.
Ganilla Hutton, yes.
They're probably all up in their 80s by now.
Well, not quite.
Really?
I'm 73.
Oh, is that all?
I think there may be one or two that are a little older than me.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. And I think Jeff is probably just like maybe 58, 60, something like that.
Okay, so, yeah, it. I tell you, that was the greatest program. I don't think I ever missed an episode of Hee Haw.
Thank you.
Because, it was uplifting.
It was.
And it was a gotcha type, you'd pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, what kind of bush did you pop out of?
It was cornfields.
Oh, really? Cornfield,
yeah.
Okay.
They made cornfields, and we all sit on, either if you could just jump up and down, that you did that, but if you couldn't, they had apple boxes that we sit on.
Oh, really?
That we'd stand up from. Yeah.
Oh, my. Now, who stood up with you?
It depended on who was in that particular skit at that time, or who was in that particular, little two-line thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you're wondering, Lulu has red hair, of course, and she was very prominent with the cast of the Hee Haw.
Yep.
Boy, it's such a long time ago, but when did it end?
It actually ended in 1992.
Oh, that long?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
And then the reruns have been on now this year's 50 years.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's interesting. Now, do you belong to the Screen Actors Guild or something like that?
After SAG, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, do they provide retirement?
They do. I have a retirement plan from AFTRA. I sure
do. Excellent.
Yes.
Otherwise, it'd be rather difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It
would without it. It sure would. Yeah.
Okay. So, and one of the other stars of Hee Haw has been in Marion a couple of times. I interviewed him in a trailer. A motorhome at an event here, and I can't remember his name now.
Did you play banjo, Buck Trent?
No. It was the big, what was his name? I'm sure it was Hee Haw. Oh.
But do you remember what he did, what he played?
Well, he sang.
And
played, of course, guitar and sang.
Was it Roy Clark?
Yeah, Roy Clark.
Roy, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Roy. Roy passed away.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Was it last year?
Oh, my.
November
of last year.
Yeah, he was in Marion once. He came to a company here in Marion that had a yearly sales event, and they had prominent people. And that year, Roy Clark came.
Yeah.
And they invited me out to come in his motorhome. We sat there and talked for an hour.
Oh,
nice guy.
He's wonderful. Roy, talk and talk and talk. He would spend all day talking to you if he could.
Yeah, isn't that Now, that's success.
Yes.
Yes, that's the type of people you like. Okay. And are there any other stars of Hee Haw roaming around like you?
I think I'm the only one that's really out here, you know, doing things. I think Ronnie does local things around town, Ronnie Stoneman. And Kathy does not do anything. She stays home and has grandbabies now. Earlene Mandrell, okay, she goes out a little bit. Let me think. Jeff Smith, he is real active in his church. And I think it's South Carolina. I think that's what it is. And let's see, Victoria, she goes to sing every now and then, not too terribly much. But okay. And Misty still does like little plays and things.
Do any of them get around to like county fairs?
They do, yeah. Okay. I know Jeff has done county fairs. I know Misty's done county fairs. Buck Trent does them all the time, I think. Yeah.
Okay, now, what about the old farmer with the pitchfork and his wife?
Oh, that's Gordy Tapp and Ronnie Stoneman.
Oh, okay.
And Gordy has passed away.
Oh.
And Ronnie's still with us, and she doesn't go out so much, I don't think, anymore, does she? I don't, you know.
I often wonder if there's ever a copyright to their pose. You know, it appears on plaques and here, there, and everywhere.
You know what? I do not know.
Yeah. Interesting, though.
Uh-huh.
But that's become a, whatever you call it, a part of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, the time right now is 1:26. Now, I tell you, listeners out there, if you have a question you'd like to ask Lulu, why, please feel free to call. We'll take your call, 740-383-9944. And because I don't have all the questions. Maybe you do, too. Okay. And like I was telling you, Noble Bear from the Upper Sandusky area did Hee Haw's sounds. And I had him on the air once a year for years.
Did you?
And he finally passed away, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. That was something. But how he auditioned and got the job, I thought was pretty good. He just sat out there and did all these animal sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, there's the guy we need.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Boy. Okay. So we're going to be breaking here shortly. But now you're in town for more than one reason. But one of the main reasons is to sell your book.
Yes.
Yeah. How long did it take you to... Probably quite a while, did it, to write that book?
It took several years to get it all put together, you know.
Right. So now, does your book recall experiences in life, the good times and the bad times?
Mm-hmm. Sure does. Yes, it does.
Most people in show business have had their share of bad times.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. You have those good times, you have those bad times, you do.
Yeah. Now, Lulu, where were you born?
I was born in a little town called Pilot Point, Texas, right outside of Dallas.
Oh, really? Kentucky?
No, I was born in a home for unwed mothers.
Oh, really?
Yep, I was.
Interesting. Yeah. Great.
I think it was called Hope Cottage. It was something that was, you know, like, wow.
Yeah, right.
Now, ironically, you know.
They're interesting. There's an evangelist, Baker, Jimmy Baker, who
mm-hmm.
I think runs a home, a similar type of home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So, 1:28 to time. Okay. And I keep forgetting what I, you know, when you get old enough, you forget everything you were going
to. Tell me, honey. It's happening to me now.
Is it old?
Yes, well, it is.
You can look ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Kim just found my picture of a younger,
mm-hmm.
that was about 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And down there on the left is me at 3 years of age.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Holding a .38 pistol.
Uh-huh. I saw that big gun.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh. So we're going to be breaking here, and then we'll be back with Lulu.
Oh,
talk
okay.
more about her years in show business and about Hee Haw. But our phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Okay. And Lulu will be... now, when you're going to be at Perkins with your book?
Tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah.
What time?
I believe it's from 7 to 10. Kim just went out of the room. We'll wait till she comes back and ask her.
I probably have it written down here.
What time are we at Perkins tonight, honey?
5 to 9.
5 to 9. Woohoo, I was off.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So we're going to break here shortly, but I forgot to tell Scott, a man came in while I was here yesterday and brought those fans in.
Yeah, I was wondering.
That's nice.
To give away to listeners.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Knowing that, and today is one of those days.
When we can use them.
Oh,
yes.
My land. Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
I thought I left here, and Tim or Scott probably went, where'd these fans come from?
They were just trying to open them, too.
A very courteous listener. A generous listener.
Wow. Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 p.m. to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Guests like legendary civil rights icon and comedian Dick Gregory.
Today I shut everything down. My wife was laughing because if it wasn't for this show, y'all wouldn't hear from me. And that's why you have people listening to you that don't listen to other things. They want to hear you. There's something in your voice. When I got off the plane yesterday, my wife told me, she said, you know, your friend called in 1 or 2 days. And I said, we'll move Wednesday around. And we do it on Wednesday and tell them I do the day date on Thursday.
Well, Mr. Gregory, that I thank you so much for that, because it is always a pleasure to have you on. The king of all talk show hosts, Bill Donahue.
Well, you're very kind, and thank you, Scott. And I don't mean to look like I'm kissing a baby, but you are very good yourself. I will say this about you. You don't float a battleship of words around a rowboat of thought. And I'm afraid I do that once in a while. I do that usually when I'm least convicted or informed about my answer. The less I know, the more I talk. I think that's a lot of these are some of the things I learned over the years. The slow learner has learned after 5,000 television shows. But everybody should have the break that I had. A lot of breaks. And my hat's off to you. Thank you for your pursuit. I noticed that too. You reminded me of all the times that we worked very hard again and again to get guests that we wanted, including Ralph Nader and many others. So it's been a joy. I'm pleased to have been here, and I hope it'll cut.
I think it'll. WWGH Radio, now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. Join us.
Okay, we're back once again with Lulu from Hee Haw fame. Lulu, as you remember, the red-haired lady that popped up among the corn stalks. That's a long, started that a long time ago. And you were with them, Lulu, to the very end of the term?
I was, yes.
No kidding.
From the first show on the last show.
Wow, well, that's good. That doesn't happen that long in show business.
I know it.
So, well, tell me, now, when you were a little girl, you grew up in a not a regular home then?
No, I grew up in an orphan's home.
Okay, in an orphan's home. And how was the treatment at that time for an orphan? Did you get the love of your caretaker?
It fluctuated. It depended on who was working there.
Oh.
Some people came because they needed money.
Yeah.
Some people came because they loved children. And there were those who were very kind and very sweet. And then there were those who were just outright mean.
Kind of like the Orphan Annie.
Yep.
Ah, yep. Interesting, yeah. It's,
yeah, it was.
How long were you there before you got out into everyday life?
I was put in the orphan's home when I was about 3.5 years old, and I stayed until I was 18.
Okay. Had you ever wondered or ever have you ever been able to contact your parents?
I can't really say I knew her, but I did have some sort of a relationship with my mother. She was in a mental institution the whole time that I was in the orphan's home.
I see.
And what I learned in the later years was that she had been hit in the head with bottles and chairs and just all kinds of stuff. And it literally caused her brain damage.
Sure.
She had the mind of about a 16-year-old.
Oh, my.
So it wasn't...
You know, I don't know what we call them today. I don't think we call them mental institutions, but mm-hmm. there is some facility where people are kept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I once did birthday parties for senior citizens,
uh-huh.
and one of them had been in a mental institution for 20 or 30 years.
Oh, goodness.
And he said they used to tie him to the wall once a day and shock him with... Mm-hmm. 110 volts electricity.
They did, yes.
Oh, poor guy. And he managed to survive it, and he wasn't quite 100%, but mm-hmm. he was there.
Oh, I'm sure they fried yeah. brain cells,
and,
you know.
And also, children that were had retardation,
mm-hmm.
They were kept in special places,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
And I can remember as a kid, we feared those because we didn't know anything about them.
Yeah. You don't know what it is. It scares you.
Oh, yeah. There was one in our neighborhood. And we had heard that he skinned cats.
Oh, my goodness.
And he would come to our neighborhood beating on a drum or something, and the kids would run into homes, lock the doors.
Mm-hmm.
What a different era it was compared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I asked about him from someone who had taken care of him once. I said, whatever happened to this boy? They said, well, he died in an institution. He had scars all over his wrist from the chains they chained to the wall.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
That's just awful.
Oh, yeah. Thank
that's
goodness
awful.
We're human today, I hope.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, no kidding, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so after you you left there, what did you do?
Well, I kind of went crazy is what I did.
Yeah.
They got us jobs, and all the girls that left that year, we all had a job at Southwestern Bell Telephone Company.
Really? You did?
Yeah. I was the operator.
Operator? Yeah.
Like Lily Tomlin did in her thing where she
yeah.
put the plugs in there.
Right.
That's exactly what I did. And stayed there for a couple of years. And then things on my bucket list was I wanted to learn how to cuss, and I got it down real good. So they said at the telephone company, bye bye.
Oh.
You can't do that here.
Yeah.
So I kind of found myself out in the street, and I ended up running with a bunch of girls that wanted to go down and dance in the Dallas dance halls, and ended up going down there and I became what they called back then Lulu, the biggest go-go girl in town. I was a dancer. That's why they hired me.
Oh, had you gained some weight then?
Oh, yeah. By then I had really ballooned up. I was always just a little bit rounder than anybody else in the orphan's home. And then whenever I got out on my own, you know, my weight just went way up. And I got really heavy for a while.
Yeah, well, what do you do now? And we often see people who are overweight, of course, and just to get along, just to sit in a bathroom, mm-hmm. on a receptacle.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulties of being yeah. that much overweight.
Yes. Okay. It's hard. It is.
I bet. Was it? It is. Did you ever have peace of mind being that heavy and wondering what's ahead?
No.
No?
No, never did. Wow. Always wanted to get the weight off of me. Always trying somehow to do it. And eventually, I went the route of surgery.
Oh, okay.
And I had two surgeries. It was called lap band back then. I don't know what they call it now. But they ultimately did help. And over the years, funny too, you know, as you grow older, your appetite seems to lessen a lot too. I don't eat very much now at all.
I don't either.
I don't need to, you know.
Well,
I don't.
Okay.
So I think I'm probably at this point, I don't know if I could say, really say smaller in that context, but I'm smaller than I've ever been okay. in many, many years.
Well, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, to keep yourself that way, you have to be on a special diet of any kind?
Nope, I just watch what I eat.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. I'm real good about eating vegetables and meat and salad and
yes.
stuff. I can't eat a whole lot at one time.
Really?
I can't now. I think over the years, their scar tissue has built up.
Oh, okay.
And then where I had those stomach surgeries,
sure.
too. And so I can't eat a great big meal anymore. I can't
okay.
do it.
So you
Which
don't.
Which is a good thing. You,
you
know?
Don't have the hunger pangs then.
No. Not like
but
I did.
But when she gets hungry, she gets hungry.
Yeah. She does.
I can imagine.
Still can't eat a whole lot.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So now you're young and you're overweight. What do you do after that to get into, you know, a future?
Just, you know, I continuously was trying to find some way to get the weight off of me. And ultimately, I think the scar tissue that built up in there where I'd had the surgeries kind of put me in a place where I could not eat like I did before.
Okay, yeah.
I could not put that much food into my body. Okay. I couldn't.
Now, did that stop your craving, though?
It did not at first, but ultimately, yes, it has.
Okay.
Yep. I don't eat much anymore at all. I don't.
But sugar. Now
I do. I like sugar.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah. You're not on a salt-free diet?
I don't eat salt because I'm allergic to iodine.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
But you don't have any... Remember people with lacking iodine used to get those knots on their neck? What was that called?
I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to think what it was.
Yeah, so that's why they iodine
yeah.
salt. But you mm-hmm. can't eat the iodine. So mm-hmm. you must be a sea salt person.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll be doggone.
Excuse me.
But, yeah. So, but you don't eat salt. Especially with the iodine.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. That is interesting. Goiter, that's the name.
Goiters,
of it.
Goiter, that's
goiter,
yes.
Yeah. I never hear that term anymore
mm-hmm.
because
I
think the iodized salt took care of that.
Uh-huh.
But now,
yeah.
I think different people wonder, too, with the big craze for sea salt, which is really salt. Salt is salt.
Uh-huh.
You
but
wonder,
there's, they do it without the iodine.
Yeah,
somehow.
You just wonder
yeah.
if people will start getting
yeah.
goiters.
Wow.
And they won't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. Yeah. Okay. Well, the time is 1:43. And listeners, if any of you would like to call, 740-383-9944. And don't forget, Lulu is going to be out at Perkins today, tonight, and with her book. We'll talk about more of that in a moment. But now we're at one stage in your life. You're not into show business yet. Now, you say you did get in with a crowd, though, that liked to really drink and dance and all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
And that was...
I was never much of a drinker. I didn't care
for
that's alcohol.
Good, yeah.
I was... Well, the problem with that was I was the druggie.
Oh.
I participated in a lot of marijuana smoking. And I used to eat what acid is what they called it, like it was candy.
LSD or?
LSD, yeah.
And that put you on quite a trip.
Well, you know, I never had a bad trip. I didn't.
Really?
Well, I kind of feel like, you know, I've learned a lot of things in my walk with the Lord. I have. And one thing the Word says is, what you confess with your mouth shall be yours. And people would always say, oh, I just took LSD, I'm going to freak out. And I said, well, of course you are. You just said you were.
Oh.
You know, and yeah. I had no idea that was what was in the scripture. I found that out later.
Really?
But I was always of a mind, you know, don't say it, you know.
Yeah. We heard so much about somebody taking a bad trip on LSD, yeah.
I never had one. I didn't.
Yeah. Now, that era, that would have been in, what, the 50s?
60s.
Yeah. The time of the Vietnam War, too.
Yep.
And
yep.
Did a lot of guys in the Vietnam War, of course, were given drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in all the wars.
They were.
In order to give them the courage to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a PBS show on television the last couple of nights. Showing.
Oh, wow.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. This is Scott Spears, and I hope you join me Monday through Friday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. to listen to guests like these. Phil Donahue.
29 years, and imagine what happened during those times. And we talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody. Is the caller there?
Sally Jesse Raphael.
All they wanted was shock value. And so they put in producers to do that kind of show, and I kept saying, no, I won't. And I made a conscious decision to do what I didn't want to do because I needed the money. And eventually they put me out of my misery by firing me, and that's okay.
Cookie legend, famous Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play.
Legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
But it was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm ugly image.
Well, baby, let me put it like this. I used to get so much revenue for playing witches. That's witches. As in Halloween. And darling, after I had that first beautiful facelift, I never again was offered a witch role.
Is that right?
Now that tells you a lot.
Yeah, it definitely does.
And my social life improved.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Okay, we're back once again. And as I said before, Lulu's back in town. Lulu from Hee Haw. Whoa. And her new book. And we'll tell you all about where that book will be available here shortly. Okay.
Yes.
Lulu, we've advanced, into the drug use, too. LSD and
mm-hmm.
What, marijuana?
Yep.
What other, was there heroin at that time?
There was heroin, there was cocaine, there was,
different
psilocybin.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of all the things. There was just, you know, an exorbitant amount of possibilities that I could get into, and I tried them all.
Okay, and yeah. the need you felt for taking those, were when you went, you were downcast, you were discouraged, taking those, did it help?
I thought it did. It took my mind away from being so inwardly selfish. I did catch myself doing other things, which was a good thing. It was. But it mainly just kept me, can we say, messed up enough that I didn't so much concentrate on the sadness of my life like I did without it.
Wow. And how did you ever wean yourself from drugs?
I did not wean myself from drugs, honey. I was instantly delivered.
Oh, really?
God just took
Bang.
It away.
Oh.
Just took it away. He did.
Wow.
When I asked Jesus to come into my heart, it happened then. I didn't recognize it until the next day.
Really?
When I got up and started to start my day and got busy and realized that I had not had any drugs. And I called my friend and she came over and she sat with me and we drank iced tea and worked around the house a little bit and realized, and she finally said, Lou, you have been delivered. God has delivered you from drugs.
Wow.
And I said, I'll take that.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And I really, truly believe I was. I never had to take drugs again. I didn't crave it. God just took it away.
I keep wondering, what are we going to do today with the drug use?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking about rehabilitation and things like that. How do you ever stop the flow of drugs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's horrible. I just can't even begin to imagine... how you would do that on your own, of your own power or whatever.
Oh, yes.
You know, it takes a mighty God to help you to get through that. It
that
does.
Is so interesting.
It really does.
Ah. And you've got to let it happen. You can't resist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah. Isn't that something?
Yep.
And I can only imagine, too, the expense that you went through.
Yes. Because well, at that time, I was crazy enough that I figured out that, you know, if I could sell it, yeah. I could have it what I wanted.
Right.
And so I was selling drugs and got busted for that, I did.
Yeah. So you were wholesaling and retailing.
Yes.
Oh, my. Oh. But I don't know. What would you tell young people today about drugs?
I would say... don't even try it the first time. Don't, because these drugs are so powerful, they will get you in a heartbeat.
Sounds
they
like
will.
It, yeah.
And when they get into your system and your body begins to crave this, you either have to go to a hospital of some sort or some kind of care unit or something to have people give you more drugs to get you off of those.
Yes.
So I believe that God can deliver you from drugs. I mean, I know there are people that would say God did not deliver me from drugs. Well, that's because He had another plan for your life, you know. But I personally know that God delivered me from it. He did.
That's good to hear.
Yes.
And when you think of all the millions of... Oh, wait, we have a caller here.
Okay.
Okay, caller, go ahead. Hello? Caller, are you there? No.
Hello?
Apparently the caller went away.
Hung up, yes.
Yeah. Hung up.
Scared him. Boo!
Yeah, right. Oh, my. But, hey, caller, if any of you want to know a little bit more, now here you can talk to an experienced person in drugs and how... She got off of them instantly. That's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Instantly.
It is truly amazing.
Wow.
It is.
You don't.
I never had to see any doctors. I never had any kind of psychiatric help or, you know, any of that stuff. God just took it away.
Yeah.
Just took them away.
Great. All right. 153. Give us a call if you'd like. 740-339-944.
If you're brave enough to stay on the phone.
That's right. Hey, that's right. If you can stay on the phone and talk to Lulu, she'll give you some good advice. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're off of drugs, and now what do you do?
Now I am at the place where my friend Diane says, okay, well, you know, people started calling me and saying, we want you to come and give your testimony. And I said, what is a testimony? And Diane said, well, that's, you know, where you tell people what God's done for you. And I said, oh, okay, I'll tell this. And she said, no, you can't tell that. And I said, okay, well, then I'll tell it. She said, no, you can't tell that. Oh. We had to go through things and decide what we could tell and what we couldn't tell.
Oh, my.
Yes. And I had no idea what, quote, testimony was. Yeah. But the first time that I ever really gave a testimony that went out across, I guess, the world was on Rex Humbard.
Oh, Rex Humbard. Uh-huh. And what was the name of his institution?
A Cathedral of Praise.
Yes,
or was it
okay.
Cathedral of Tomorrow?
And he was in Ohio, wasn't he?
In Ohio, sure.
Yeah, Eastern Ohio, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was so precious. And I stood in his platform and gave my testimony. And afterwards he came. I was in his office and he got down on his knees. I was sitting on a chair and he got down on his knees. And he put his head on my lap and he just began to weep. And he said, sweetheart, today you talk to more people than Jesus ever got to talk to.
Isn't that something?
Boy, it had an impact on me.
Oh, my, yes.
It did. It was precious.
Yeah. I remember him only seeing his picture. I mean, didn't he have a wig? Didn't he wear a toupee or something?
No, I think that was Peter Popoff, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, Rex Humbard had the Cathedral of Tomorrow, I believe, in Akron, Ohio.
Yes, Akron,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rex and Maud Amy Humbard.
Well.
They were precious.
That's something. And you know, you wonder, you'd never know how many lives you affected.
Yeah. But he told me that day, he said, today you talk to more people than Jesus ever talked to.
Okay.
So sweet.
I hope, and I'm sure... We have some people that are relating to everything you've said, and if they can call if they'd like to talk
sure.
to you. Wow.
Yeah.
But you'll be tonight. What
at
time
Perkins.
At Perkins. What time will you be there? 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I believe.
Five till nine.
Yeah.
And they want you to come in. And if you buy a book, you will get a 10% discount on your meal if you buy a book. Otherwise... Well, that's the way it is. But
I pay your tax for you.
Yeah, right. Now, in your book, you talk about some of the things we've talked about.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
I do.
So there's some good lessons
surely
in there.
I do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. 1:56 is the time, and you're listening to Lulu. Lulu, your last name again?
Roman. R-O-M-A-N,
that's right.
Like Greeks and Romans.
Yeah. Lulu Roman.
Yes.
Oh, great. Who actually grew up in an orphanage. Now, that is really interesting mm-hmm. for people to know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you relate some of your experiences
I
in
do.
Your book about
yes.
that. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. 1:57. All right. And, here. Okay, now we have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Lulu, I got a good story for you. When I used to watch Junior Samples and... Grandpa Jones and several others laying on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And they were just, you know, it was one of those hot days. And someone asked Junior, said, Junior, what time is it? He said, I don't know. He said, the clock's right behind you. He said, I know, I'm not looking that way.
Really? Yes.
Just a little cute one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Have a good one.
Hey,
thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Love to hear from you. You know, one of the best things is to get two-way conversations going mm-hmm. with listeners. That was my whole thing through 60-some years of radio.
Oh, I love that, it's, yes.
1:58 right now, and we'll be breaking in a minute or so for about 12 minutes, and we'll come right back with Lulu Roman, talk about more about her book and about how you can acquire her book
yes.
yet today.
Yeah.
So you're... Where do you go from here, Lulu?
We
you have another city in mind?
Oh, yeah. We, where is it? Hold on.
We'll be in the Miracle Revival Center Sunday night at 6 o'clock.
Well, where's that
Hamilton, at? Ohio.
Oh, down by Cincinnati.
Yep. Hamilton, yes.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's about an hour and a half from here or so.
Good.
Not far.
Okay, so when you're there, you'll give... testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think it's so great that you can talk about your drug use and how it all ended.
Mm-hmm.
My,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. And You know, years ago, well, I mentioned, in the Vietnam War, to get those poor men into fighting condition, you had to encourage them. And I don't know, did the government maybe give them drugs? I think it happened through history.
A young man who was a boyfriend for a time, and he was in the Vietnam War, and he spoke a lot about something called Agent Orange.
Oh, yes. Weed killer.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I've just, you know, I, from what I could tell, it was very prevalent.
Yeah.
I think they fed it to those young men.
Yeah, you know. And I think that started this whole big drug era we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to pause here for about 12 minutes, or 10 minutes, and we'll be back with Lulu Roman talking about show business, how she got started, and everything else combined. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
The place is